You can trust in your gold. You can trust in your money. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, you cannot serve God and money. Mammon, it says in our King James. You cannot serve materialism. You cannot, and that makes money an idol that you dare not serve. If you should have no other gods before Him, then what does that say about your money?
Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
Love is it's a self-sacrificial act of the will. It is not primarily sentiment, though it does involve emotional sentiment. We all know that. We know that love involves that. But for instance, when the Scripture says, love your enemies, does that sound like emotional sentiment to you? No. No, it sounds like an act of the will, a choice that you and I must make. If we are to love our enemies, it is not because we feel emotionally sentimental toward them. No. No, it's an act of the will, and so in the very same way, honoring the Lord is, it's an act of the will to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart. There's your emotions. That is, with all of your emotions, all of your heart. He says, with all your heart, all your soul, there's your very essence. That is your very life, who you are. That you are to love Him with your emotions. You're to love Him with your essence. He says, with all your might, there's your energies. With all your might, with your emotions and your essence and your energies and everything else, you are to love Him supremely, living your life in a self-sacrificial way before Him. So I ask you today, do you love Him? Do you love Him primarily? We learn in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if any man, and this is by contrast, hate not his father and his mother, he goes in another passage to say, and even his own life also. Which one has a higher priority for you? Your family or the Lord? Your own life or the Lord? The Lord is saying that unless our love for the Lord turns every other love as if it were almost into hatred, that is, to honor Him first and supremely, that it does not pass the test. We understand that there are many who look for comfort in different ways. Do you remember the application that came out not too long after September 11th? That those who study such things said there was a study of comfort food. And the top winner in the comfort food was macaroni and cheese. And people, there was a tremendous upsurge in macaroni and cheese. Why? Because macaroni and cheese gave some comfort. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have to go looking for idolatry in every place. And so I would just ask you to stop and think for a moment. Is it possible to make your stomach your God? Can you make your belly your God? Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 would tell you absolutely. You see, here's one form of idolatry. It's your appetite. Let's stop and think about this just for a moment. And in fact, let's make the second powerful application. Yes, since He alone is God, and we should have no other gods before Him, we ought to love Him supremely. But then the second part of this is, we really ought to go looking for idolatry in our own lives. If 1 John tells us, little children, keep yourself from idols, the ancient commentators refer to the passage in 1 John 2 where it says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, they referred to that as the three-headed idol. That's an interesting way to look at that. In other words, those are things that become idols for us. So in essence, here's what idolatry is. People worship powerful forces within creation as if they were deities. They worship powerful forces that are at work in creation as if they were God. And specifically, I want you to see this. What they do is they project personality upon these forces. That's exactly, by the way, what was going on at Mars Hill. And that's exactly what goes on in paganism, and now television is bringing back all the paganism, the Roman gods, the Greek gods. What is happening is man is projecting his own image on God. God made man in his own image, and now man, in an attempt to overthrow him, tries to go back and say, I'm going to remake God in my image. And so let's go asking, what kind of forces do we worship, and could we worship instead of God? In Habakkuk chapter 1, we find that the prophet Habakkuk told all that the Chaldeans were going to come in and were going to take Israel captive. But then he made a very interesting comment about that. He said, what they will begin to do then is they will begin to attribute their strength to their God. There's one idol you could do, you could choose. You could choose your strength. You could say, I am worshiping my strength. You might not say it that way, and yet your strength is what you trust to get you through. It is your strength that you are using. Young men, I want to challenge you on this. Some of you are thinking, look, I'm strong, I'm virile, I have this strength. Older men might say, it's not my muscular strength, it's my mental strength. I have this strength, and I trust that to get me through. Sir, that can become an idol. It can become an idol. An idol wherein we begin to worship a force in creation. A force where we ourselves say, I am strong, I can do this. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 11 says that's exactly what idolatry is really all about. It is projecting that strength and being sure that the Lord is not honored by it. In Job told us, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to fine gold, you are my confidence, Job has done us the great favor of showing us another. You can trust in your gold. You can trust in your money. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, you cannot serve God and money. Mammon, it says in our King James. You cannot serve materialism. You cannot, and that makes money an idol that you dare not serve. If you should have no other gods before him, then what does that say about your money? You know, the greatest sacrilege you can commit against any so-called god is to give it away. That is one of the things that we practice on a regular basis. We give offerings. We give offerings of money. We give of our material possessions. We give them away. Sir, ma'am, I want you to be very careful. And I want you to think carefully and look carefully in your own heart and say with the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Are you trusting in your own strength? Are you trusting in your own money? The Bible makes it plain that we can trust all kinds of things. The Lord just told us a few moments ago, if we do not love him more than our own family members, they can become idols. Abraham had to learn that. When he was called upon to sacrifice Isaac, he had to learn, who is God? He was teaching Isaac, who is God here? Are you God? No, you're not God. I don't serve you and worship you above God. I worship God, and whatever that means for you, I will trust the Lord to bring you through. I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 3, because here we have it in very plain sense. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 uses the very word idolatry, but the lead up to that word idolatry is quite fascinating for us. I would point out that you could make an idol out of your strength, out of your money, out of your family, out of your stomach, we've learned. What is being made an idol out of in Colossians chapter 3? Notice what it says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It is telling us about our future. It is showing why it is so necessary. What is the powerful engine that helps us to, verse 5, mortify? What does it mean to mortify? It means to put to death. It means to cut it off as if it were a limb that needed to be amputated. You deal with it. You cut it off. You render it dead. And what is it we ought to render dead? Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication. You see, it is possible to make sex into an idol. eroticism. It is possible to make that into an idol. Do you think that God's people need to go looking in their own hearts and their own lives for, Ezekiel chapter 14, the idols of the heart? Surely. That's why he says it here. Mortify. He's speaking to believers here, folks. He says, render dead, therefore, that which upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, speaking of perversion. He is saying here, evil concupiscence, this evil desire that you cultivate through pornography and your own meditation, that you could just be so caught up in evil and evil desires. In fact, he lists at the end covetousness. An interesting word, covetousness. Do you remember that Paul said over in Romans 7, I would not have known what lust was unless the Bible had said, you shall not covet. You can draw an equal sign between coveting and lusting. And look what he says about covetousness. And covetousness, which is, you tell me the next word, idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Ladies and gentlemen, lust is an idol. What the Lord is saying to us in these three wonders that warn us, because he is the unique and holy God, the Lord of all power and all authority, the Lord who loves us and has delivered us from bondage, and therefore we should have no other gods before him. We ought to love him supremely and look for idols in our own hearts and lives. Then I think what you and I as believers have to do is we have to go looking for idols in our own lives. We could set up idols in our hearts just as surely as all the men and women of all the ages. We need not comfort ourselves in the fact that we don't have a statue at home that we bow down and venerate. That's ridiculous. The Bible is showing us here that there is a spiritual idolatry. Where do you go for comfort? What do you trust in? Can't wait to get the next comfort food? Can't wait to have that next session where you indulge your lust. Can't wait to see how much you have in your bank account so you can know that you'll be okay. Can't take your heart and mind off some family member that you have chosen just to honor and exalt. Perhaps you're walking out of here thinking, I'm a strong man and I don't care what they say. I'll trust in my strength. I would ask you this day to turn from your wickedness and trust him alone as Lord. There is no other God before him. When Joshua was speaking to the people of Israel, in Joshua chapter 24, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. True God, the idols of the nations. And then he went on to say this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How is it with you? I call you to record this day that the Lord has shown us very plainly what it means to have no other gods other than him.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.